Encounters with the Nagual, Armando Torres, Part 1, The Path of the Warrior. One morning I received a phone call, and to my surprise it was Carlos. He told me that he would arrive at the airport in Mexico City in 4 hours, and asked if I could pick him up. I told him it would be a pleasure. He gave me the number of his flights. I figured that he was calling from the airport in Los Angeles, since that would fit the time required for the trip. When he arrived, I accompanied him on some errands related to the printing of his book. Afterwards, we went to the cafe for a chat. Before saying goodbye, we agreed to meet at the place where he was giving a lecture that night. The weather was terrible. Perhaps that was why, when I arrived at the house where the appointment was, I found that just a few people had arrived. I placed my coat, sopping wet, over the back of a seat and sat down in the corner near Carlos. The core of his statements that evening was that the universe in its great entirety is feminine and of a predatory nature, and there is a tenacious battle of consciousness going on where, as always, the strongest absorbs the weakest. On the cosmic scale, the strength of a being is not measured by its physical capability, but by its capacity to manipulate awareness. It follows that if we are to take the next evolutionary step, it must be done by means of discipline, determination, and strategy. Those are our weapons. Through their seeing, sorcerers witness that struggle, and they take their place within it, ready for the worst and without complaining about the result. For their ever-ready disposition for combat, they have won the title of warriors. A warrior considers the world we live in to be a great mystery. He knows that the mystery is there to be revealed to those who deliberately look for it. That attitude of audacity will occasionally move the tentacles of the unknown, making the spirit manifest itself. He explained to us that the warrior's audacity is born out of the contact with his imminent death. He told us the story of a girl who one day arrived at his editor's office, put a small mat down on the floor and sat down on it, and told the editor, "I won't leave until I speak to Carlos Castaneda." All attempts to discourage her were useless. The girl remained inflexible. Finally, the editor called Carlos and told him that a crazy girl demanded his presence. What could I do? I went there and met her. When I asked her the reason for her strange behavior, she told me that, being deadly sick, she had gone to the desert to die. But while she meditated in solitude, she understood that she had still not tried everything. And she decided to play her last card. For her, that meant to know the Nagual in person. Impressed by her story, I made a unique proposition. Leave everything and come to the world of sorcerers. She answered at once, "I'm game." When I heard her answer, my hair stood on end, because Don Juan used to say the same thing to me. If I were going to play, then let's play. But we play to the death. That is, the sorcerer's feeling in front of his destiny. I bet my life on this intent, nothing less. I know that my end could be waiting for me anywhere, and there isn't anything I can do to avoid it. I will walk down my path with utmost concentration. I accept the responsibility of living fully. I will risk everything on a single hand. A warrior knows that no victory is guaranteed when faced with death. Even so, he freely enters into his battle, not because he believes he will win, but for the excitement of his war. For him, entering the war is already a victory, and while he fights, he is happy, because, for one who is already dead, every second of life is a gift. He continued by saying that, "What makes it possible for the world to exist just as we see it is our attention, and that all of our fellow men focus simultaneously and connected in a tight net of interpretations reinforced by agreements." One of the present asked him to further clarify this topic. He explained, C, the domain of attention is of supreme importance in the path of sorcerers, because it is the primary matter of creation. In all worlds, degrees of evolution are measured by the ability to realize, to be aware. In order to manipulate and understand the emanations which arrive to our senses, sorcerers develop the power of their attention, sharpening it through discipline to exquisite levels, which allow them to transcend human limitations and to fulfill all the possibilities of perception. Their concentration is so intense that they can penetrate the thick armor of appearances and expose the essence of things. Seers call that degree of increased awareness. They call it seeing. Even though such a fixed attention may seem like stubbornness, obsession, or fanaticism, for the practitioner, it's nothing but discipline. He warned us not to confuse the discipline of sorcerers with people's repetitive routines. Discipline, as understood by a warrior, is creative, open, and produces freedom. It is the ability to face the unknown, transforming the feeling of knowing into reverent astonishment, of considering things that exceed the scope of our habits, and daring to face the only war that is worthwhile, the battle for awareness. It is this courage to accept the consequences of our actions, whatever they may be, without self-pity or feelings of blame. Having discipline is the key to handling attention, because it takes us to the will, and this allows us to modify the world until it becomes what we want it to be, and not like the one which was imposed on us from the outside. For this reason, will is the threshold of intent for warriors. Its power is so great that when it is focused on something, it can produce the most astonishing effects. As examples, he told us many stories about extraordinary events he had witnessed. He maintained that underlying each one of the prodigious actions of sorcerers, there is a whole life of discipline, sobriety, detachment, and analytical capability. Warriors place the highest value on these attributes, and together they constitute the state of being, which they call impeccability. He went on to explain that impeccability doesn't have anything to do with an intellectual position, a belief, or anything like that. It is a consequence of saving energy. A warrior accepts with humility what he is, and he doesn't squander his power on lamenting because things are not otherwise. If a door is closed, we don't kick it and punch it. Instead, we attentively study the lock and figure out how to open it. In the same way, if his life is not satisfactory, the warrior is not offended, nor does he complain. On the contrary, he designs strategies to alter the course of his destiny. If we learn how to curb our self-pity, and at the same time make room for the authentic me, we will become drivers of cosmic intent, and conduits for torrents of energy. In order to flow in such a way, we must learn to trust our resources and to understand that we were born with everything we need for the extravagant adventure which is our life. A warrior, each man or woman who has entered the path of sorcery, knows that he or she is responsible for him or herself. He or she doesn't look aside seeking approval or trying to discharge their frustrations on others. Don Juan told me, what you are looking for is within yourself. You have to struggle to make your actions final and to achieve your own clarity. Commit yourself before it's too late. The aspect of impeccability which particularly concerns our daily lives is knowing how exercising our freedom affects others and avoiding the resulting friction at any cost. Occasionally, our relationships with others will generate friction and expectations. A fighting sorcerer pays close attention to his contacts and becomes a hunter of signs. If there are no signs, He doesn't interact with people. He is content to wait because, although he doesn't have time, he has all the patience in the world. He knows that too much is at stake, and he won't risk ruining everything by one false move. Since he is never desperate to achieve contact with anyone, the warrior can choose his affections with sobriety and detachment, taking care at all times that the people he consents to be with are compatible with his energy. The secret to achieving such clarity of vision consists in identifying oneself and not identifying oneself. A sorcerer takes himself with the abstract and not with the world, and that allows him to be independent and take care of himself. Then he told us a story about a guy who considered himself to be a great warrior, but every time he had problems at home and his wife didn't make dinner or didn't wash or iron his clothes, he collapsed in chaos. After a long battle with that situation, the man decided to introduce a radical change in his life. But instead of reforming his character like he was supposed to, he changed his wife for another one. Realize that face to face with our destiny, each one of us is alone. So take control of your own life. A warrior polishes details, develops his imagination, and puts his ingenuity to the test by resolving situations. It's inconceivable for him to feel destitute because he has self-control and he doesn't need anything from anybody. By concentrating on details, he learns how to cultivate delicacy, subtlety, and elegance. Don Vicente Medrano said that the beauty of this struggle is to show in the invisible stitches. That is the sorcerer's trademark, the fulfillment of intent. The gift of independence and the control of details produce the capacity to persist where other people would desist. When arriving at this point, the warrior is barely a step away from impeccable conduct. Impeccability is born of a delicate balance between our internal being and the forces of the external world. It is an achievement that requires effort, time, dedication, and being permanently attentive to the object, so that the final purpose is never lost from sight. But mainly it requires persistence. Persistence defeats apathy. It is as simple as that. The threshold of magic is an intent sustained beyond what seems possible, desirable, or reasonable. It is a mental leap to become tuned to the will of the eagle's emanations and to allow their command to loosen the rigidity of our limits. But few are willing to pay the price to walk the extra mile. He admitted that on several occasions he was about to abandon his teacher, oppressed by the magnitude of the task he was given. What saved him in the end and gave him a second wind was a wave of energy that the warrior finds within himself when everything seems lost. Many apprentices, after searching for years and not finding anything to satisfy their expectations, retire disappointed without knowing that maybe they were just a few steps from their goal. He shook his head and commented sadly, "We should not die on the beach after swimming so far." Once he has gained flexibility, humility, and a sense of independence, control of details, and persistence, a warrior in search of impeccability knows that he has gained the power of his decisions. He is authorized to do so or not to do so, according to what suits him, and nobody can force him to do anything. It is at this point that he needs, more than ever, to be the owner of his emotions and of his mind. Because clarity joined with power make an explosive mixture. It can easily make a man reckless. The path of the warrior consists of saving energy. Everything that goes against that threatens his intent to be impeccable. But sometimes, because of the surplus of power, which has accumulated in his luminosity, circumstances can take a particularly hard turn for him. His dilemma is the same, which faces a hang glider who, after struggling for hours to get up up on the mountaintop, carrying his heavy equipment, finds that the weather conditions are not correct or right for the flight. In a situation like that, it is easier for the athlete to decide to jump anyway than to decide to remain on the ground. If he hasn't learned to control his decisions appropriately, the most probable outcome is that he jumps to his death. In the same way, there will be times when the apprentice forgets that his objective is not to nourish his ego, and he enters into situations which are stronger than him. Not only can this be fatal, but it constitutes a serious breach of discipline that will plug him into the labyrinths of power. In these cases, power becomes his executioner. A warrior of knowledge does not senselessly surrender to the excitement of war. First, he observes their conditions, gauges his possibilities, and establishes his support points. Then, depending on this evaluation, he will rush forth or retreat without the slightest hesitation. He does not deal with blows out blindly, but turns every step into an immaculate exercise of strategy. The apprentice who does not learn in time to decide how, when, and with whom he must enter into a battle is removed, either because someone kills him or because he is defeated so many times he cannot rise again. The warrior's final challenge is to balance all the attributes of his path. Once he does that, his purpose becomes inflexible. He is no longer moved by a desperate desire for gain. He is the owner of his will and can put to his personal service. When he arrives at this point, the warrior has learned how to be impeccable, and for him, continuing being impeccable depends totally on the energy he has accumulated. He gave as an example an apprentice who uses his recently won powers to be rich or become rich. He then comes to a forked road, either entering into the mindset of I want this, I want that, or to cultivate intent. If he chooses the first option, he has arrived at the end of his path, because no matter how much energy he dedicates to them, the yearnings of his ego are never really satisfied. In the second option, on the other hand, he has found his route to freedom. Intent is the tuning of our attention to the cosmic awareness, which transforms our volition into commands of the ego. We must be daring to attempt it deliberately, but once there, everything becomes possible. Intent allows sorcerers to live in a non-ordinary world and to intend a destiny of freedom. For them, freedom is a fact, not just a utopia. By ignoring the principles of the warrior's way, modern man has wound up in a diabolical trap made up of family, religious, and social concerns. He works 8 hours a day in order to maintain his way of life. Then he returns home, where the wife of always awaits him and his children, identical to any other of a billion children, will demand things from him and force him to continue in his chains until his powers are drained and he becomes a useless object who sits meditating over his memories in a corner of the house. They told him that this is happiness, but he doesn't feel happy. He feels shackled. Be warriors. Stop that. Realize your potential and free yourselves. Free yourselves from whatever. Don't impose limits on yourselves. If you can defy the force of gravity and fly, that's great. If you still have the I impetus to challenge death and buy a ticket to eternity, that's tremendous. Take a risk. Get out of the trap of self-reflection and dare to perceive all that is humanly possible. A warrior of knowledge makes an effort to be authentic. He won't accept any compromises because the object of his fight is total freedom.